Oh, here we are. Episode. I need to find out the actual number. Episode 2 of the week. Here we are. Javier and I bringing it back to you. Excited to chat with some awesome movers today. But you know what? First of all, just a big thank you to everybody tuning in live. If you're watching live, drop a what's up in the chat. Tell us what cannabis stocks you're looking at because they're moving today, y'all. Cannabis stocks are moving today, and I can't wait to ask Javier, why. You know, we're definitely going to talk about why. But first off, get us kicked off, Aaron. Let's get started in style. What do you think about that tease bomb right before that intro bumper there, Javi? I mean, big day, dude. Or, you know, again, big day again for the state.
Big day indeed. Let's see who's moving here.
Dude, like, I mean, for all those who don't know, let's set the scene, right? So a long time ago, in a galaxy far, far away, safe banking was introduced for the first time. It failed, or it passed the house. How about that? And then it passed the house 6 more times. But the Senate refused to do anything. And then here we are in late April 2023. It is introduced in a bicameral fashion into both legislative bodies at the same time.
Nice.
And there's some positivity right and now.
Bipartisan, right? We have two senators, one Democrat, one Republican. Jeff Merkley for the Democrats and Steve Daines for the Republicans. And then on the representative side, we have David Joyce as a Republican and Blumenauer as a Democrat. So this is bipartisan and bicameral. Big hopes? I don't know. Pablo Swanich seems to be hopeful, as you can read in his latest article on Benzinga.com.
Well, I said there's some positivity. I think there's let's not dive in head first, all right? But I do agree with you that there is some positivity and hopefulness out there. I know, Javi, you want to be more hopeful than I do.
Yeah, just forget it. Forget cautious optimism. I'm all riled up today.
No, don't tell investors of the space that. Listen, so a note that pops out to me is Jeffries. I've received so many analysts' notes over the past like 24 hours that it's hard to keep track. But Jeffries was one that I covered this morning on Cannabis Daily, dude. And it basically, they listed like 3-4 reasons why they're actually hopeful this passes. One, you already have 40 senators co-sponsoring this bill. 40 senators. That are behind this bill, 5 of which are Republican. So you need 20 more for this to pass in the Senate. It's being introduced in both houses, both legislative bodies at the same time. That bicameral approach, as we said, is super positive. And there's other reasons as well, which you can read on Benzinga.com/cannabis. But I mean, Javi, there's legitimate optimism right now, and I know it's probably entrenched in all of us to look for that optimism, especially right when there's any type of federal movement, but. There's pain here. There's historical pain.
Why do you think that banking has become such a priority versus decriminalization, right? Why do lawmakers care more about the industry being banked than people going to prison?
Well, I think you have to clarify which lawmakers, right? You know who I didn't see co-sponsoring this bill was Cory Booker, right? Mm-hmm. So I think you look at hints like that about who is actually putting their name on this bill, but I think you look at SAFE and there's a direct effect there with, you know, the likes of taxes, the likes of safety for employees, you know, not having to, you know, be robbed. And that's not just consumer facing stores, that's warehouses too, right? Yeah. This is all across the supply chain. So I think you look at, you know, some of these Western states like Washington and Oregon, you know, they've been on this for a while. You have, I think Montana now has a senator that is one of the lead sponsors of this bill. So, you know, I think for a variety of reasons, This is beneficial for the small business. You cannot continue to not be on the side of the small business in order to give them access to banking. Because, guys, MSOs are banking. Like, I mean, you're not stopping these larger cannabis companies from banking.
That is true. They are banked and insured.
The only companies that they're hurting are the small ones.
Fair enough.
Anyways, I would hope that message is being communicated on a unified voice.
Sold, Mr. Lane. You should be in Congress making a case for this.
No, I just communicate what smarter people have told me. But Javier, Mr. Lane,
you got the four.
Oh, I just want to say, on the banking subject today, we are speaking with probably one of the coolest, I would say, financial ancillary kind of tech players in the space today. Green Check Verify. We're going to be talking about their marketplace. We're going to be talking about what they do, both for the financial side, those banks, those lenders, other services, as well as with the operator side and those people looking for those services. Bless you. It's going to be a really cool interview and honestly a pretty pertinent one. I'm excited to get their thoughts on that. But before that, we are going to get to a really cool what's happening with a product launch. But before that, we have 3 minutes of Javier telling us what else is going on in the cannabis industry on Thursday, April 27th.
Let's do it. First off, a big shout out to our good friend, J.M. Balbuena. She is an author, filmmaker, and entrepreneur. She wrote this book, award-winning book, by the way, The Successful Cannapreneur. And, you know, being a Latina, she decided to publish her book in Spanish, Can Emprender Exitosamente, La Guía Práctica para Prosperar en el Espacio del Cannabis Legal. So how to prosper in the space of legal cannabis, this time for Latino entrepreneurs. Big shout out again to J.M. Balbuena. Go check out that book if you're interested. Then some news out of Texas, where the House passed a decriminalization bill that includes penalty reduction and expungement. The idea is to decriminalize possession of small amounts of cannabis. The bill still requires a second reading, which is a formality, before heading to the Senate for further consideration. As we've seen with SAFE, the Senate is often a holdup, but so far it seems pretty promising. The new bill would allow adults over 21 years old to possess and transport up to 2.5 ounces of cannabis, which is not such a small amount. And it will allow people to cultivate up to 12 plants on the property, as well as expungement for criminal records for possession of up to 2 ounces.
Man. Can you imagine like all these bills getting passed at once and like pretending Republicans can just block a veteran affairs bill? Like, and you know, that's not me hitting Republicans. Democrats have blocked progress here plenty. But I mean, if we get some of these things through this year, just the different industry we'll see in 2024. Am I dreaming too much? I'm probably dreaming too much for everybody's taste.
They're the famous pot blockers. I don't know.
Oh, I love you.
Dad jokes.
I love you. All right, keep us rolling. What else is happening, man?
I mean, not much more. I'm honestly interested in our interviews today. I think we got enough time to get into two amazing interviews. Let's bring up Alad first.
Yes, Alad, we're going to do a quick segment on what he's doing today. I'm excited. Let's bring over Alad Barak of Jot. All right, Mr. Barak, I have in my hands here a very, very cool product that looks just like the ones right by you.
So jealous. How did you get that?
Yeah, well,
so
you shouldn't live in Argentina. All right, that's your fault.
Shut up.
No, but seriously, Alad, what is up, man? First of all, tell us about this product and then tell us about where you're at.
Yeah, absolutely. So thanks for having me. And, you know, I think that maybe the excitement in the market is because the fact we're launching today, but that is to be seen, right? So what we have here is the Jot dispenser, and people say it's the Keurig of cannabis. It's a one-time purchase of a dispenser. Inside you have a pod. Unfortunately, you're across the border, so your one is empty, but mine does have cannabis inside. You slide it in. There's a nice slider at the bottom, which is kind of like your cap. You open it, and once you open it, it's very hard to see through the camera, but there's a screen. It turns on, and I can choose my dose. Exactly. Your camera is better. You choose your favorite dose. You take your beverage, whatever you want. You put it above. There's a button here you hold.
Say, if I want 5 milligrams of air, yeah.
Yeah, well, I have cannabis instead. and you can mix any beverage with cannabis. And essentially, we're changing the way people look in cannabis beverages. Not more that you need to buy it in a bottle, that you need to commit to a flavor you don't like, to a dose that doesn't fit you, whether it's too low and expensive or just too high. Now you choose your own dose. We're approved in Canada. We can go up to 1,000 milligrams according to the regulation. We just limit each dispense in 10 milligrams. And you guys know we've been working on this for a few years, but today we're actually launching. The product is available this May in Ontario, Canada. So we have two amazing partners. One is a company called Emprise. They're the ones who are doing the pods. So we gave them empty pods. They fill it with their product and they're selling it under their brand. And we also partner with a dispensary chain called Miss Jones. They have 16 locations here in Ontario, and they're going to carry it throughout all of their stores. But this can be available in any of the 1,500 dispensaries in Ontario. And what we're doing today is an education event in one of their stores where we're bringing butt tenders and all kinds of people that are influencers and just sharing the news, telling them what we're doing, and giving for some of them dispensers with pods so they can try it out.
So the main pro for these, I mean, there's a lot of pros, right? There's exact dosage, right? Mm-hmm. There's the opportunity to literally infuse any beverage you want, as opposed to just having like a seltzer or a sports drink, right? Which, you know, I like a good seltzer and I like a good sports drink. So no shade here. But like, maybe I want some cannabis in my hot chocolate, right? Or coffee. I don't know. You know, just thinking out loud here, but what is the, like, what are the other pros and cons of something like this, right? Like, you know, for me, I'm thinking, you know, is this, you know, there's a lot of talk about nanotechnology infusion and keeping it water, you know, quote unquote, water soluble. How does this disperse across the liquid? Things of that nature. Yeah. Like, how does your product differentiate from these specific cannabis beverages?
Yeah. And I think what we're doing is we're actually making the process much easier for our cannabis partners, because as a cannabis partner, if you want to make a cannabis beverage, you have to make sure that your cannabis is water soluble within a specific beverage that you're putting it on the shelf. It can be there for a few good months. pH levels and all kinds of other things, carbonation, heat, cold. What we're allowing them to do is to keep it emulsified in a small amount of water. And we're dispensing it with a drink. So even if you put it with a Coca-Cola with a high pH level, it's only interacting with it a few minutes before you drink it. So there's no real interaction. It's not going to affect too much of what you're having. So we're making it much easier. Now they need only one product instead of multiple, you know, beverage flavors. So we're making it much easier for them. We're also giving the consumers above the ability to choose their beverage and dose. And as we say, the occasion, which is really important. You mentioned hot chocolate. You know, what if you want it with your coffee in the morning? A seltzer doesn't work. From a price perspective, there's no competition. And we know that cannabis consumers are, you know, price is important for them. And what we're selling our starter kit right now is $49.99. That's a dispenser and a pod with 120 milligrams. That's 12 beverages for $49.99. And then the refill pod, which has 300 milligrams, so that's 30 beverages that you can have in your pocket, that's going for $39.99. That's $1.30 per beverage. That's cheaper by about 70 or 80% than anything on the market. So they're getting a great deal in addition.
That is awesome. I tried the original prototype. How is this version that you're launching to the market now different from the prototype? What's improved? And as a follow-up, how does it taste?
Yeah, so I'll separate the two. I think the main change is we made it much more consumer facing. The ones that you got, I designed, and I'm an engineer. This one, we had some really strong partners helping us with this, making it very fashionable, making sure that everything feels nice. So we added a nice slider at the bottom, so you actually can close your pod, make sure that it's secured, it can never drip. The software a bit updated, just to allow you a bit more control. And then from a flavor perspective, it really depends on our partner. I find that in Canada, there's somewhat of a bit more advanced formulations. A lot of people in the States that complain about the formulations, but I have to say here in Canada, I've tasted some really good ones. And Emprise, our partner, I think they did a great job. Their formulation hardly tastes. I mean, in coffee, I can't feel it. But I also added in water a lot of times for demonstrations, and it's okay. There's a bit of flavor of cannabis, but nothing, you know, too off.
Well, I can't imagine this community cares too much about the flavor of cannabis. But all that said, Elad Barak, thank you so much for coming along and telling us. Honestly, congrats on this. We've known you for a while, man. We've known you for a while. It's a very sleek product, can fit in any pocket, fit in the purse. Like, I'm looking forward to watching this grow at a rapid pace, man. And I know this has been a lot of work for you and your team. So really, really happy for you guys. Excited for to actually get cannabis in this one day and enjoy it with you. But all that said, Elad, enjoy the events today and moving forward. Best of luck to you. And we will keep up with you in the future, my friend.
Thanks so much, guys.
All right. Thanks, Elad. Very cool. Honestly, this has really been a, like a very long time coming for, for Elad and Arjun. And team over there, and it's really a nice product. So
I think it's also like discreet and it's innovative. Everyone I've showed or told about this, they were like, "Oh, really? You know, it is
innovative." You know, I don't think there's anything. There are other products like it, but I don't think they're quite as advanced. To be honest, I think this one definitely is a little bit more. I think polished.
Indeed.
Awesome. So that being said, we're going to keep it moving with another leader of the space. And we're diving back into the financial side because, you know, guys, that's what we do here. We are financial owners, but we're bringing on a well-known boss entity, living man himself. Cannot wait to talk to Brett Puffenbarger, the head of marketing for Green Check Verified. Welcome, Brett. How are you, sir?
What's going on, guys?
Oh, hanging out. You know, we're doing good. You have the skyline of New York behind you. Consider me jealous. It is my favorite city in the world. No lie. But really? Brett, just real quick, man, you've been in this space for a hot segundo. Can you tell us a little bit before we dive into Green Check Verified about your journey in cannabis?
Oh, ma'am. So I started in cannabis. Everybody knows Marine Corps, bought a karate school, worked for Harley for going on a decade, made the jump into cannabis, started in cannabis retail, worked for one of the MSOs in the very early days of Florida, jumped around a little bit after that, was really involved in the veteran space for a good bit because I'm a veteran, did the consulting thing for a little while and then found a home at Green Check Verified. And it's been really enlightening to come from the operator side of things, from being in the space to servicing and solving a problem for the space, like a very real one. So it's sometimes a little surreal to sit back and say like, holy crap, I'm solving a problem for people that I wish I had solved for me. Right. So like, I don't know how you take that other than like, I'm glad nobody solved it for me because now we are, but.
Well, tell us about the problem. Right. I mean that I'm sure you could just talk about the rest of the episode, but in your best like shortened version.
So short and sweet version, cannabis companies deserve to be treated like a normal business, right? These aren't like ludicrous things that are happening. They're normal everyday businesses, big or small of all sizes. They deserve normal access to things. So Green Check's original answer was, how do we get banks to bank weed? Right? How do we take care of that? So the original iteration of Green Check Verified was a really simple one. Created a compliance rules engine that hooks up point of sale systems to banking software, kind of like a translator, that it can't de-risk, but it mitigates enough risk to help financial institutions feel comfortable with all of the various laws, hoops, loopholes, et cetera, that comes with trying to bank a high-risk industry. We're always going to be one. And B, one that's federally illegal, but state by state legal in various ways. So that was the original iteration, right? How do we get banks to do it? And now we're there, right? I think we have 132 financial institutions working in every single legal state in the US, something like 5,000 cannabis clients, 4,500 cannabis clients that bank with us, accounting for somewhere in the neighborhood of 30 to 35% of the industry. So that was V1, right? Solve the bank the unbankable problem. Something we kind of picked up on a little bit down that road was banking is a huge bottleneck for all of the other normal business stuff that a cannabis company needs, right? HR payroll, staffing, payments, insurance, the stuff that if you're not in weed, you don't have to think about. But once you're in weed, you're like, oh man, where do I get it? How do I do it? So that's our big offering now, right? One-stop shop for your cannabis company to get all of their essential business services in a convenient-to-use marketplace where you log in, you pick those providers that work for you, or more than one, if you want, let them compete for your business and pick the best of breed out of it that solves your problem together. It's that simple. I mean, it sounds kind of like, oh, crap. That's a huge undertaking, but it's really not. We kind of have it figured out.
You know, you mentioned that one of your initial moves was to reduce the risk so that banks would want to bank these cannabis companies. What are some of the things that banks are looking for, right, in that aspect, right? What does a reduction in risk imply for, you know, from a bank perspective?
The biggest one is tracing that the money coming into that financial institution is safe, legal, legit money derived from legal activities, right? So like for us, GreenCheck, we hook into your point of sale system or your track and trace system and track everything your business does down to the dollar level, translate that into bank language and report that directly to the bank. So a bank has a BSA analyst, right? Like somebody who analyzes the health of the businesses and the compliance level of the businesses. The going idea was that a single one of them could handle 8, maybe 10 cannabis accounts. When you use GreenCheck Verified on the financial as a financial institution, I've heard as many as 80 to 100 by a single person because it's all right there, simple to use on that. So that's kind of the big one. There is a kind of a litany of other small pieces, whether based on the type of charter the financial institution has, right? Credit union. Things a little differently than a bank does. A national bank looks at it differently than a regional bank. So there is no solid answer for that piece other than we've got some really smart people that have, you know, fine-tooth combed every piece of the regulations and built that into our software.
So can you talk a little bit about the longevity of a GreenCheck Verified? Like, you're solving a very difficult problem in today's market. How does that translate once banking is more accessible?
So I think it only becomes even more important. So we're never gonna not be a high risk industry, right? Like you uncrack the Schedule One piece, that's easy to solve, right? The how do we still keep them comfortable? So take something like gambling or gaming or something a little edgier like sex work, which is legal in some places, right? Those are always going to be high-risk industries. Most financial institutions won't touch them with a 1,000-foot pole. The difference in those and cannabis is we're too widespread with legalization already for that little patchwork network of a couple of specific financial institutions that work with just casinos to service, right? What do they have to worry about in the gaming casino world? Nevada, New Jersey, that's kind of it, right? For us, we have 38 legal states. Go federally legal, we have 50. So for us, that's going to become more important, particularly when the big boys come knocking, right? When the Wells Fargo's, the Bank of America's in the world, they don't want to have to unpack all this stuff. They want a purpose-built solution because that's what they're used to. So for us, we're excited for that future at GreenCheck. We're like, cool, let's do this on the huge scale, like the Coca-Cola and Microsoft scale, not the cannabis industry scale as it is now. So we're very much looking at that future with excitement.
So I have a follow-up to that, and it's a little bit more on the side of the services, being the services and the banks using your platform, less so the operators. How to word this, I don't know. So maybe I could use your expertise for this there, but the longevity of those services, right? They're in this because there's opportunity for them to be in this at a pretty large clip right now without the larger banks being involved. You know, specifically the Bank of America, you know, all those guys, I bank with, a TD Bank, right? There's Ally Bank. There's so many banks not in cannabis right now. Are you able, I guess it's one or the other. Are you able to create a benefit for these institutions to be involved now on your platform as you get them involved in cannabis, and or how do they benefit from being in cannabis early? I guess it's one of those two questions, but you know, what's to keep like a Trulieve or Verano from jumping to a Bank of America, you know, once it is federally legal versus what's the benefit of the banks being in now? I'd love to pick your brain a little bit on that, that umbrella of a topic.
So that's a pretty loaded question.
It
in
is.
That world. So early adoption for financial institutions is pretty simple. Deposit dollars and lending and funding revenue, right? That's how banks make money, right? Deposits in, play with it in the stock market, make some money off of it, give it back to you, or collecting interest payments. So for the smaller financial institutions that are currently doing it, and small is kind of a misnomer in this category. I'm going to regret saying it out loud as soon as I do, but I believe some of our financial institutions are $60, $80 billion institutions. These are not small banks by any means. We're not talking about like one branch little guys everywhere. As far as what's to stop them from jumping to the big guys, there probably isn't anything outside of stuff like we offer, right? It kind of goes back to the, even if it goes federally legal tomorrow, we are still a niche, hard to understand, difficult, high risk industry for them to get into. So I'll give you a little piece of a conversation I've had with some of our financial institutions. So when they look at lending and funding to cannabis companies, it's really easy for them to conceptualize dispensary operations. Retail is retail is retail, right? Like lots of little transactions come in, daily deposit out, big purchase order goes out every couple of weeks to refill the thing. They're very understandable model for them, not that different than a 7-Eleven or a Lowe's or any other retailer. Cultivation is not that different than any other manufacturing or agricultural product, right? There's like long lead time, large purchase order goes out, big money comes in, buy little stuff along the way, kind of the opposite of retail. The one that they really have a hard time grasping at times is the extraction world, not because they don't understand product manufacturing, but because they don't understand the litany of ways that extractors make money, the different business models, toll processing, split processing, building a brand and buying and selling it out. That, you know, we all know there's a dozen or more ways that an extraction company makes money. And something that I've said to a few of our financial institutions is they're also the most stable business. So no, you can't necessarily financially forecast the way you would for a retailer based on, okay, I know 420 is coming, you're going to make more money. But what you can do is rely on the fact that they're a bottleneck within the industry. And everything they do is, in effect, a collateralized operation, right? The equipment is higher in price, the requirements and costs that come to starting that business is more. Kind of package all of that up. If I were a bank, I am not a bank, so I am not speaking for our banks in any way, shape, or form, but if I were a bank, I would be lending and funding extraction and manufacturing and packaging companies left and right, but they don't right now. So this kind of intrinsic cannabis, you know, ecosystem supply chain knowledge paired with the, we got you on the compliance side. I think that's the kind of hook that A, keeps them out, or B, brings them to us when that comes.
And you're so clear. Usually when I do these banking interviews, I go like, just dumb it down. Like, you know, not everyone knows all these banking terms, and most of them can't, right? They're just like too immersed in their own thing. I don't know if this is because you come from a marketing background or what it is, but there was like, this was so clear. So
I'm
easy
a weed guy, brother. Like I'm over here. Like my job is to talk weed guy to weed guy and say, I can solve your problems. I'm not trying to overcomplicate it. Banking is hard. It's difficult. It's a very complex topic. But at the end of the day, for a me, for a you, for an Elliot, for an operator sitting out there listening, it needs to be simple. Because operating in the cannabis space is already playing on expert mode, right? Like we're already like at Diablo, like tier 16 level. This is hard. What do I do? Just to survive, right? Just baseline survival. Why make it hard? Come on, guys. Like we don't have to. We can make it real simple. Look, we got you. All you got to do, hook your thing up here, report it to the bank. They're happy with you. You get all the stuff you want out of it. We're done. That's it.
Let's close it up with the topic of the day. Safe. What happens? Does it change anything for you? Does it change anything for the industry? How likely is it to pass? Just give us your thoughts on SAFE and especially what is happening right now. bipartisan and bicameral support, right?
So safe banking may or may not pass. You guys kind of said it in the beginning when I was sitting in the background. Who knows what Congress and those in charge are going to do. I think for us, if it passes, there's a little bit of unpacking that has to go in looking at SAFE. SAFE is not overnight big banks are going to come play, right? SAFE banking is kind of a misnomer if we really want to talk about it. Really what it is SAFE lending, funding, and taxes. So if SAFE passes tomorrow, the large corporate operators have a huge windfall overnight. That's good for them, right? Like, heck yeah, this is great. Larger financial institutions will come knocking, particularly in the lending and funding world, and large, let's call them tax people. And I'm using that as a pretty blanket term to mean CPAs, tax auditors, et cetera. They're going to come knocking because they are going to now be able to help expand that. For your average mom and pop day-to-day operator, it's not going to do a huge amount. Though the one thing we are hopeful in, particularly with the marketplace play, is continuing to grow out our most popular marketplace category, which is lending and funding. And the thing that makes it kind of fun for us is cannabis has been very reliant on alternative lending for a long time, right? And we can use alternative lending in a couple of different ways, whether that's like hedge funds or family offices or venture capital or et cetera, et cetera. We are now seeing, at least from our financial institutions, a really serious uptick in traditional lending, and not with wild rates, right? Like with the same rates that I paid for a car a couple of years ago, right? So like we're starting to see that now. And I think what we're probably going to see is a little bit of consolidation coming from the big banks toward the smaller banks that do have successful cannabis programs. And I think that bodes well for us and for the industry at large upon safe banking, where some of these smaller operators, just like we would see in cannabis land for some co-ops, start some co-opetition, start some working together. I think that's what we see.
I love M&A, that.
You say? Yeah.
Co-opetition, that is like a term I like. I'm going to say this again. This was probably the most interesting banking conversation I've had in a while. I got to be honest, I get pitched a green check verified for commentary quite often. I love finance. I'm not so interested in banking. So when they pitch me, I go like, banking, it's like so boring. You killed it. Like, I need to watch.
It has to be boring.
Like, this is awesome.
Like, I think we know who we're going to be hearing from in a lot of our banking articles moving forward. It's going to be the Brett Puffenbarger.
You just earned a spot. This is how you earn a spot. Like, just dumb it down for us.
Right, Javi. We're not children, but I actually do agree with Javi, though.
You are not.
Like,
agree yourself.
You know, but
I'm a kid. I'm happy to be a kid. I'm cool with it. I collect Pokemon. Like, get out of here.
Yeah, dude.
Look, like it says in my new t-shirt, keep an open mind.
Well, you kept an open mind about banking today, Javi. I'm proud of you. Brett, thank you so much for being here, man. You know, we're out of time, but I didn't get to ask you about how you're marketing this, but we'll dive in again in the future. I think there's going to be a lot to talk about on this particular subject.
You heard the subject, man. Over. That's it. That was the whole thing. That was the whole thing. In a nutshell.
But, you know, your strategy, though, you know, we talked about it over the past few weeks. It's fantastic. So, you know, I'm excited to talk more with you over the coming months. You know, there's going to be a lot to talk about. Hopefully we see some of this movement. But with that being said, Brett, thank you so much for joining us, my friend.
Thanks for having me, gents.
All right. That was a fun episode today.
Surprisingly interesting and fun, dude. I'm blown away. You know, like, I like to be honest here. This was awesome.
Good. I'm glad you're blown away today. I hope everybody watching was blown away as well. We had a wonderful banking conversation. We had an awesome product launch for Jot, precise dosage dispensers and the beverages specifically. Super cool. All that said, y'all, keep tuning in. Share with your friends. Subscribe to the Benzing and Cannabis Daily Newsletter. Go get your tickets for our fall event, bzcannabis.com, and tune into all your news throughout the day, benzinga.com/cannabis. We're here for you guys. Appreciate you. Javier, last words to you, my friend.
Go check out what happened with the stocks today. Look, I dropped the link. Cannabis/talks.
Cannabis/stocks. All right, y'all. Have a great one. We'll see you again on Tuesday. Peace. Peace.